This is the Tuesday, March 22nd edition of the Daily Wager Podcast. We've got you covered with a variety of action for tonight and this week. So settle in and we'll set you up in 10 minutes or more with everything you need to know heading into the betting day.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to the Daily Wager Podcast, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. Tyler Fulgerman and Anita Marks with you this morning. Voice a little hoarse as I'm fresh off a week in Guatemala celebrating a friend's wedding. A lot of dancing, a lot of singing, and performing for me. So I'm trying to get back in the swing of things here. No better way to do it than a DW podcast on a Tuesday afternoon with you, Anita.
My favorite wedding party song is Pour Some Sugar on Me. I feel like that's the song that gets everybody crumped.
That's an absolute banger. Quick side note, when I was 18, I went down to Cancun for spring break and I met the friend who actually got married in Guatemala at a club while that song was playing. And instead of pouring some sugar on me, he just poured his drink straight on my head. And we danced the night away in Cancun. So I absolutely agree with you, Def Leppard, Pour Some Sugar on Me. That one gets the people going. All right, let's try and get our people some winners today and this week around the betting board. We'll start today since we do have some NBA that can be played on Tuesday night. It's a light slate, just four games on the NBA slate. Anita, anything that stands out to you that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I loved the Knicks about an hour ago, and the news broke that Julius Randle is going to be out, but I still like them, and they're getting 1.5. Listen, this is a team that really no pressure right now. They're really not playing for anything. They're kind of in purgatory. They've won five of their last eight. They have the 12th best defense in the NBA, but the 23rd worst offense in the NBA. But when they go up against horrible defenses, guess what? They average 113 points. Collins for the Hawks is expected to not play tonight because of his finger and his foot. You also have Lou Williams, who's out. So, again, I loved the Knicks an hour ago. I like them now as we're recording this podcast. But with Julius Randle out, I'll tell you what I do love, and that's RJ Barrett over 26.5 points. He averages 24 a game, and a lot is going to be expected of him tonight with Julius Randle out. Also, Obi Toppin is going to get a bump up. He averages 10 minutes and 8 points a game with Randle out, and Tibbs likes him a lot. So I can see Toppin getting anywhere between, 18 to 25 minutes. So I'm really curious. His prop bets haven't hit the slate yet. So they haven't hit the boards yet. So I'm really curious if it's anything above like 8.5 or 9.5 points, I'm all over Toppin as well.
Yeah, I got some good news for you with the news that Randle is out. The Knicks are now actually getting 3.5 in some spots. So obviously that's a big deal missing Randle, but I agree with you. I love the Knicks. They might be my dog of the day. They might end up being my best bet, but three, if you can find 3.5, take the Knicks. And the reason why is the Atlanta Hawks are the worst team in the NBA on the road this season. They're 10-24 ATS. They've covered just 10 of 34 games on the road this season. They play terrible defense on the road. They don't win games on the road. They don't cover on the road. So I love the Knicks. Now with Randle out, you're getting those extra 2 points or 1.5 points. And I think Obi Toppin can step in and fill that void. He's a supreme athlete. That's what we see him in the dunk contest. And he doesn't have maybe the skill of a Julius Randle, but in a game that I think that will showcase and kind of portend to athleticism because of the way that Atlanta plays, I think Toppin can fill in and help this Knicks team to a win at home as an underdog. So I like you, like the Knicks plus the points because Atlanta is so bad ATS this season. Some other basketball games to look at here today in the NBA. Maybe the best one on paper is Milwaukee hosting the Chicago Bulls. Milwaukee is a 7-point home favorite against Chicago with a total of 234. This one is hard for me, Anita, to handicap because I know a couple of things. One, there's no Chris Middleton for the Bucks. We're likely no Chris Middleton. I think Giannis is going to be back after sitting out a game. Really, only Lonzo Ball is out for Chicago in terms of roster. But the Bulls this season, they've been a really awesome team, ATS at home. They've also been an awesome team beating up on bad teams. And this is neither of those situations. They're on the road in Milwaukee, and they're playing a playoff team. The Bulls have, like, no wins against teams that are going to be in the postseason this year. They have cultivated their record by just absolutely dominating the dregs of the NBA. All of that being said, I don't love laying 7 with Milwaukee when I'm uncertain about how their lineup is going to look. So I think how I'm going to approach this game for the time being is take Milwaukee's team total over 120.5, maybe play the game over 234.5. And I have a slight lean towards Milwaukee, though I may just try and find a money line parlay with them because I'm pretty sure they're going to win this game if that trend holds for Chicago of them just absolutely struggling against the good teams in the NBA and struggling to cover, or I shouldn't say struggling to cover, just not being quite as dominant against the spread on the road as they are at home. Do you have any way you can maybe help me narrow down how I want to tackle this game, Anita?
I'm staying away from that one.
Yeah, I get it.
but too much going on there, boo. But there is one game that I do like other than the Knicks, and that is the Clippers. I like the Clippers getting 7 against Denver. Listen, they have had 3 days off. They haven't played since Friday, so they're fresh. They're coming in. They have the eighth best ranked defense in the NBA. So I think they have what it takes to slow down the Nuggets, especially Zubac going up against Jokic. I think that's going to be a really, really good matchup to watch tonight. And I do like Reggie Jackson over 18.5 points. You know, he's averaging 23. He plays good defense. I think he's going to be a big part of their success tonight. And I like the way that Lou has these guys playing. So give me the Clippers plus 7.
Yeah, the Clippers-Nuggets game is in Denver. I will probably stay away from picking a side or total there, but I do like DeMarcus Cousins props. Cousins over 16.5 points, assists, and rebounds. He's averaging 17.1 in 21 games with the Nuggets. The Clippers are 28th in rebounding rate, so when he's on the floor in those minutes for Jokic, he should dominate the glass. It's also a revenge narrative for Cousins, who played for the Clippers for a little bit. And with the Nuggets installed as a 7-point home favorite, if it does get out of hand, he could have a few extra minutes if it's a blowout situation. And, you know, they're just, you know, Cousins is in for Jokic because the game is well within control. So I like Cousins to fill up the stat sheet in this matchup. And he's had a string of 3 straight games where he's, you know, been well over 10 points. I think it's 12, 14, and 14. And his point prop is 9.5 for this game. If that interests you as well. The only other game to mention is Golden State, Orlando. I will point out that Orlando is 12-23 ATS at home this season, which is the second worst home ATS record in the league behind only the Brooklyn Nets. I don't think Curry is going to play in this game, but the Warriors are still a 7.5-point favorite. And I will point this out about Orlando as well. If you like overs, Orlando is operating at the 5th fastest pace in the NBA over the last 10 games. So they've picked up the pace. They stink at home, ATS. So if I do play that game, it's Warriors overs or pass when it comes to the NBA. All right, that'll cover the 4 games we have in the NBA. We do want to hop on the links because the PGA Tour stop in Texas this week, they're done with Florida, is the WGC Dell Match Play. And it starts on Wednesday, so it begins tomorrow. It's not a Thursday start. And this is a event that the PGA Tour puts on to kind of mimic or mirror March Madness. It's a bracket-style match play event. Anita, you know, I know, we love golf. And with this starting tomorrow, we might as well discuss it here today on the Daily Wager podcast. What kind of thoughts do you have about approaching this specific style event from a betting angle?
Yeah, so this is so fun. Like, so for folks who might not be into golf, You know, this event is tailored and positioned in a way that it happens around March Madness, because what happens is it's match play and you could go online and you could participate and you could put in a bracket and you could participate in the pool. So go to, you know, the PGAtour.com and you can participate. They've got a bracket, you fill it out, you can print it out, and it's a lot of fun. So, and typically what they do, they take the top 16 golfers in the world, and then they do a blind draw somewhat for the remaining four. So you have, you know, 16 groups. They come out, they play match play Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then you get into the round of 16, the quarterfinals and the semifinals, and it goes all the way to a championship that's crowned on Sunday. So I don't know about you, Tyler, but I'm going to go straight to, before we start talking about matchups, let's talk about who we anticipate to win. And for me, it's Cantlay. Now, when you look at the bracket he's coming out of, so he's the fourth seed. He's going up against Empower and Mitchell. Out of those four, the one that I'd be most concerned about is Mitchell, just because he's got so much swag and he actually plays really well in match play. But I'm still going with Cantlay. He's just playing unbelievable golf. In match play, he's 7-3-1. He thrives on Pete Dye courses. He's gained almost two strokes total per round over his last 50 rounds. His putting has been outstanding. And also, he plays this very obnoxious, slow pace of play, which I don't know about you. We haven't played golf yet. Hopefully, we will in April. But, like, I don't know about you, Tyler. Like, I walk up to the ball and hit it. Like, I can't. It irritates me to play with somebody who's sitting there and he, like, takes three swings before he hits a ball. I'm like, dude, just hit the ball, man. Like, do this at the driving range. Like, let's go. So, but that's how Cantlay plays. And he gets under a lot of people's skin. So I've got Cantlay winning his foursome. Then I have him beating Berger. Then I have him beating Scottie Scheffler. Then I have him beating Gooch. And then I have him beating Norin to win the championship. So that's his road in my eyes through the bracket to win, of course, this WGC Dell Technologies bracket challenge.
Yeah, play fast, whether you're good or bad. That's the rule on my golf course. Whether you, even if you stink, just play fast. That's better than being bad and playing slow. That's the worst combo. I like Dustin Johnson, who's had a lot of success in this event. He plays well on Pete Dye courses. His group is one of the weaker ones. And then once he makes it to like the quarterfinals, the semis, he'd have to go through the likes of John Rahm is the best out of group one. And then, you know, Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka are the other two groups. I think group 9 and group 16 that, he would be matched up with in group 8, I believe. And Koepka's, you know, and DeChambeau aren't really in great form right now, even though they're big names. So Rahm is always in great form. That's obviously, you know, the number one player in the world, but it's match play, which, you know, it's a different feel. You know, you can play bad and win, or you can play great and lose. It's just dependent on how you're matching up that specific day with your partner. So I like DJ's potential path. There's obviously ways to bet matchups individually in the first round when you go to book. So if you like a guy, or if you like a guy to advance, you can obviously wager them. Or if you want to, another way to approach the betting is just fading guys. If you know a guy is struggling, you know, if you think right now Tony Finau is just not playing good golf. Like, for instance, his first round matchup against Lucas Herbert. You may not know much about Lucas Herbert, but Finau's a -125 favorite. Herbert's +150, and with the way that Finau's playing, with the way Finau's playing right now, that's a good price on Herbert. So it's more of just, instead of saying, yeah, I love Herbert, or I'm going to fade Finau and bet a guy at +150 in a match play where, again, Herbert could play bad and still win. Of course, Finau could play lights out and win, but like, it's just, it's not the same as stroke play. You just need to measure one man against another man, and if you think one player is going to play lights out, wager against them or wager on them. If you think a guy's going to, you know, struggle at this course in this format, what have you, then wager against them. Obviously, when you think of match play, you think of guys like Sergio Garcia and Ian Poulter from their Ryder Cup days. They're always great. So they're guys that I always look at in my DraftKings lineup as well. So just a different type of betting than standard stroke play for the WGC Dell match play. Yeah, so good luck with that, which starts on Wednesday, by the way. What's up?
Really quick. So I have Herbert coming out of that group.
I'm with you.
I believe he will destroy Finau. His biggest competition obviously will be Shoffley, but I do have Herbert coming out. Some other guys that I do like winning their group, Kisner winning group 6, and that's at plus 250. Homa winning group 8 at plus 230. Gooch winning group 9 at plus 225. I love Brian Harman winning group 15, and that's at 3-1. He loves Pete Dye courses. And Barner to win group 16 at 3-1. Some of the guys that I like to not only do well in regard to their match play, but also win their group.
Go check those odds out at your book, wherever you like to wager, and take our advice on the differences between betting the WGC Dell match play versus other stroke play events. So I think that'll about do it for our Tuesday edition of the Daily Wager podcast. Covered some NBA, covered a little bit on the links as well. A little more than 10 minutes of the bets you need as promised, but please do us a favor. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Follow if you're enjoying the show. It helps us out tremendously. And we, of course, love helping you out with your wagering throughout the day. Daily Wager on ESPN2 tonight, normal time, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. We'll catch you there, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow on the Daily Wager podcast.